This particular latest development is disturbing, and it is worrying, and it is sending a signal. But the claim that they previously used to say that the deficit in trust and confidence among the parties is becoming real, because these particular decisions, which that could have made the spirit of the agreement, and if you talk of the spirit of the agreement, it means this must be through consultation and consensus, and you couldn't have seen a counter contradictory statements from one of the party against the other party who are partners to the revitalized peace agreement. So if you look at the letter of the Political Bureau of SPLMIO, it describes the decision as unilateral. And once the decision is unilateral, then it's against the spirit of the agreement and it's against the letter and the text of the agreement. So what does that mean? It means SPLMIO was saying this decision was made, they are not consulted, and they have not reached consensus for that decision. Mm-hmm. So this is disturbing, and this is making us panic, because it reminds us of 2016, but also give us an opportunity to start questioning our political leadership. Normally in public galleries, they will tell us, or in public events, they will tell us, we will never return this country back to violence. We are committed to ensure that we are taking the pathway of transitioning the country from violence to peace through the roadmap. And remember, the roadmap, it is the making of South Sudanese parties to the agreement. Previous news challenge us that the agreement is very difficult to be implemented because it was imposed on us. Now their own adapted roadmap is also starting offering a challenge of where some decisions are done in the military without consensus. And also we see statements coming from one party against the other party. As one of the stakeholders in the revitalized peace agreement, I feel violations is happening, and I feel
And that is what I wanted to ask, though, Edmund. That's what I wanted to ask. As one of the signatories to the peace agreement, and you are a civil society activist, do you think the dismissal was correct in accordance with the provision of the peace agreement?
There are two approaches that were enshrined within the spirit of the agreement. One of it is, for example, if it's an amendment to the any text of the agreement, then the parties have to trigger Article 8.4, like what they did when they trigger for the extension of the lifespan of the transitional period for 2 more years. That's one approach. Another approach is that is a consultation, which is also within the spirit of agreement. Parties can consult among themselves to swap ownership of a ministry or any political portfolio among themselves. And that was done in the case of Jonglei State. If you remember, when Jonglei State was under IO, was swapped to SOA. And so I have to appoint a governor to Jonglei, and the same thing for Upper Nile. And the same formula is used for replacement of ministers within a party. A party can apply the second approach. Party can do their consultations and each consult among themselves. So I say, our minister so-and-so need to be relieved, and minister X have to come in, or X have to come in as a minister to replace our minister. That's within the party. So that is the approach. Now, if you avoid any of these two actions, then, then the decision is unilateral. When the decision is unilateral, it says, by itself is a violation to what the spirit of agreement, to the text of the agreement, and to the text of the agreement. So I think that, for me, is not really something impressive. We need to make sure that the principles at the level of the presidency, we are aware that they may be possible in meeting today. Let them use dialogue. But of course, as a citizen, we remain calm. We will never exaggerate this particular development, but this development is causing panic because people remember 2016. That's how it started.
Now, all was going well. The visit of the Pope, the presidency agreed to remove some powers of the national security. It seems like things were going well, and then all of a sudden, this particular decree that was issued, what could have possibly triggered this?
First, of course, we are happy when we see the messages coming from our leaders, specifically President, First Vice President, during the visit of the Pope, and then the other religious leaders, and then also the development they were able to reach consensus to put our National Security Act or the institution to behave in a democratic manner. We are so impressed with that. And we have seen the leader meeting the IGPs for the first time since 2013. Both of them met the IGPs. We are so impressed that our leaders are now showing trust and confidence that they are telling us we are in the right pathway under the roadmap. But certainly this won't happen. What triggered this? I think some spoilers around the principles are too many, and they are really taking charge of the implementation of the agreement. So for me, really, it has become a national call to our leaders. For how long do they want us to continue suffering under their leadership? What will be the legacy of their leadership? Because even spoilers can spoil implementation of the roadmap, which is a South Sudanese-owned process. And if they can put us into panic, if they can shame us before the international community, this is really a big shame before the international community. They say, you say you want to do things on your own, now we give things on our own. Look at the way we are doing it. It makes no difference whether we impose or we don't impose. And of course, there's no imposed agreement. I'm part of the stakeholders. So for me, that is the shame that we are getting among ourselves. So it seems, spoilers, I'm taking more charge. We can discuss sometimes that the agreement is hijacked by individuals who have no interest into the actual engine implementation of the agreement. But the one thing I want to move forward, I said, if you can allow me, also these developments that are coming as a violation are really attacking 35% representation of the government. Because if you see all these things, it's targeting women. Women become a target. Whenever women are in power, they're under attack. So I feel also these decisions are real attack on 35% that the parties have agreed. Look at the Speaker of Jongole, now the Minister of Defense. Look at the Minister of Foreign Affairs, who was replaced by Ebe. Look at the appointment of the Deputy Minister of Defense. So I think, for me, the meaning is too big. The only way is, can the principal meet and reach consensus? If they reach a consensus to swap ministries, if they reach consensus to replace minister, as through by consensus and consultation, we have no problem, because it's their primary responsibility to ensure the implementation of this agreement is by the spirit, text, and the letter of the agreement, and through the process of consultation, consensus. And citizens have nothing to do with their politics, but they have to do it in a very constructive manner.
This has already happened, and as we heard earlier from Natalia Oyedea, who is the deputy chairperson of the SPLM-IO, and he's saying from their political bureau meeting, they came up with resolutions, and one, of course, is to pursue peaceful means through dialogue with the president and come to a consensus, but they are demanding the president to revert this decision. Is this something you see happening?
Obviously, it depends on the level of understanding of His Excellency President, and then giving priority to the peace and responding to the outcry of the citizen. Now, if you put on a vote as a citizen, whom he is a president to vote, I think many people say, president, please think twice and allow the agreement to go in its spirit and letter, and that means please revoke the decision. But of course, it depends on how much influence our voices and our positions. So because I've got to right now, some of them are listening to us and they're putting us in a red light. That how can we deal with such voice? Insults we're also getting in social media. So for me, the honest position is that let us respect the spirit of agreement and let us pursue the political transition in a very constructive and in a mature way, where to mature political maturity, where trust and confidence is at high level. Because they won't lose trust and confidence at high level. And even by the way, this tells you clearly the pathway to the election, how it's going to look like. It's already beginning now preparing a pathway to the elections. So it means even the elections may be disturbing, or elections may trigger a return for violence. So for me, it's an appeal that the president has to think twice under his responsibility. And several times I've told us, no more return back to violence. And I'll make sure under my responsibility they can remain peaceful and stable. And remember, the message is before the Pope. Those messages are very strong. And about the Pope was going, Pope had to touch the head of His Excellency President. That is a heavenly spiritual blessing. The value of that, it is trust and confidence for delivering the country from violence to peace.
The two principals will be meeting today from the stories we heard. And when they meet, of course, they will be discussing this decree or this latest development, of course, moving forward. We don't know the results and the outcome of that. Now, if the two do not agree, what should be the next step? Should IGAD, should the international community come in here and try to resolve? Edmond?
Of course, in terms of intervention, the first primary responsibility lies with IGAD. And within IGAD, we have the grantors, which is Sudan and Uganda. And remember, Sudan now sits at the chair of IGAD. So Sudan is as a chair of IGAD. So there's a chance that the president of sovereign government of Sudan, Farouhan, may intervene on this particular issue, and IGAD executive secretary, and then likely Uganda also may have a say as a grantor in this particular development. Of course, also the level comes is to how much interest do the grantors and IGAD members have in ensuring that South Sudanese reach consensus over this particular issue. So there's a likelihood of that intervening. And there's also likelihood through the presence of UNMISS on the ground, UN may intervene in terms of the Secretary General and make a call if things are getting worse, because they're displaying a big role in terms of protection of civilians, and they may not want to see any more return to violence. So those are the bodies that will intervene. But for me, before we go for those institutions, if we really can value the loss of lives of our own citizens for independence, do we need to get an independent country where the first system of governance we pursue it as like we are in the old Sudan? For me, that's a big question to our political elites, who may be listening to us, who may have a chance to to deliver this message to the principals. Why do we confirm Brazil's word? That just give them 10 years, they will mess up. And since what Brazil say by then, and he said in the Freedom Square here, insulting us in front of us, and since we're proving what Brazil say is correct. So for me, it's an appeal to our leaders. And I remember several times President have said, when he was a vice president under Bashir, how much he was treated by Bashir, who got violent, but how much he have tolerated, and until we got the independence. The same tolerance he have used under the implementation of the CPA, can we use the same tolerance to deliver this kind of peace and stability under his presidency? Because it seems what Bashir was saying, won't prove it correct. So for me, that is the appeal I have. That's a humble request as a citizen to our leaders, to our political elites, that time has come for us to show the world political maturity in administering our public governance issues. So I think their meeting, we are appealing to them. First, let the meeting be peaceful. As I won't say peaceful, because we don't want to see the J1 incident again in this meeting. Secondly, let the meeting come with a consensus. We don't want to see them coming out of the meeting without consensus. If they come out of that meeting without consensus, that will raise the level of panic among the citizens. Though we say let us remain calm, we don't want to interfere with the politics, but public is informed by the behaviors of how leaders resolve their disputes. And some public will start deciding on what next they want to do because leaders are unable to reach. And let them show the world that they have a trust and confidence. Besides the political disagreement, people will disagree everywhere.
All right.
Now, Trump has to bring people to White House. But that is the American set to reach consensus, and Biden is the president.
All right. Now, just before I let you go, Edmund, of course, others will argue that transitional time has ended, of course, and this is now what they call the roadmap. Now, within this roadmap, of course, it is related to the peace agreement. Within this roadmap, are there grantors, actually, or it is just a South Sudanese thing and they do their thing without grantors?
One, there's a grantors in the roadmap, because I remember the roadmap process is not minus international community or minus AGAT. Remember, the parties trigger Article 8.7, they reach consensus, they extend the period. And by the way, this is something I'd like to tell everybody. The roadmap have not changed the spirit of the Revitalization Agreement, the text and the letter. Never. It has never tampered with that. What it did, Article 8.4, it gives the parties responsibility if they see they want to amend something that they are expected they can do. And what the party have realized they are expected is a timeline. So it's only extending the transition period for more extra 2 years or 24 months. But the spirit and the letter and the text of the agreement remain as it is. After being endorsed by the party took the Council of Ministers. The Council of Ministers endorsed. It was taken to RGMEC. RGMEC meeting is the assembly of all the grantors, including the international community, IGAD, AU, they were there. They endorsed it there. The level of RGMEC was voted for to go, and from there it went to the parliament. The parliament ratified. Every party is in the parliament. So the agreement remains in terms of the spirit, text and letter as it is. It's not the tempered with. So that's the message I'm saying to those who say, no, now, you know, this is a roadmap. The roadmap means it's only the prerogative of the president. No, the roadmap is within the spirit and the text original of the agreement from day one when the agreement was signed. So we cannot play around with that interpretation. That's something that I like to share with the audience.
All
but
right.
Before you could conclude, said it, William, I would like to take this opportunity also to urge, I know today the MPs of Lanya, it will be briefing the journalists. The intercommunal violence is start raising it up. And of course, we condemn the incident in Lanya, the incident in some parts of Upper Nile, the incident in some parts of Tonj. We want to urge also our leaders as they're meeting, please disrupt intercommunal violence. It's also disturbing the country and it's disturbing life and safety of citizens outside there. So we condemn the incident in Lanya, but it's like any other incident in other parts, let the political leadership take decision towards that.
And just finally, Edmund, what is your biggest worry? I mean, is there a reason to worry? What could be worse?
The worst is the meeting of today, whether today or tomorrow, between the president and first vice president. The moment they come out of that meeting with that consensus, and the moment they use the word, we disagree, I think the economy of the country, tranquility of the citizens will be disturbed. That's where my worry. I want them to reach the meeting and come out with consensus. Whatever the consensus decided to be, we are with that. So, but without consensus, it's going to be a problem. So the appeal goes to His Excellency President and His Excellency First Vice President that they are meeting one-to-one, determine the spirit and determine the feeling of the citizens. Out of that meeting, if they're going to brief the press.